Mr. Stagg, how are you doing this morning?
Good, how are you?
Good.
That's all. We have a couple of applications here, the same applicant for both applications. We'll handle them one at a time. They're somewhat similar in nature. This is one of my 75-plus protested moisture-ground applications that you'll be seeing over the next months and years, apparently, as we get them on the agenda. So the first one is Joseph R. Healy is requesting to lease approximately 25 acres of oyster planting ground in Elmington Creek in Gloucester County. It actually comes out the mouth of Elmington Creek slightly, a little branch of Elmington Creek. The application is protested by a nearby Highland property owner. So again, the location, this is the North River going up, and this little creek is called Elmington Creek. There's a portion of the application that comes out of the mouth into the North River itself. And we did receive the application from Mr. Healy back in 2014. As alluded previously to the commission, we are considerably backed up getting our applications surveyed and assigned. And there's been some protests and some back and forth related to that, which I'll cover. We did public notice this pursuant to the Code of Virginia, and we did receive a letter on December the 9th that was an anonymous letter, basically just stating that it would not be in the best interest to lease this particular oyster resource, but it was unsigned. However, on February the 18th of 2015, we did receive a letter from Mr. Blair Fahrenholt, who stated he manages the adjacent Highland property of Tiger Enterprises and also indicated that some of this area had been previously leased by the owner. He further stated that he had actually spoken to Mr. Healy, who understood the importance of the area and the use of the waters adjacent to Tiger Enterprises. At that time, it was unclear whether the letter was really intended as an objection to the application. However, subsequent to that, we did receive an application from Mr. Fahrenholt that partially overlaps the Healy application. It's a little closer view. And this would represent the Fahrenholt application. So the Tiger Enterprises property is located along this point of land. There is a pier here, it's kind of hard to see. But it basically, he applied for the area in front of the property and up into the creek here on his side of the creek. We did receive, with that application, that we believe that constituted a protest of the Healy application. This is one of those applications, as you can see here, that some of it falls within an area that's currently classified as condemned by the Virginia Department of Health Shellfish Sanitation District for the direct harvest of shellfish. It could be relayed out of. As you recall, the commission previously adopted a regulation where we will not accept applications in these areas any longer, but this predated that action. And as directed by the commission, we have been bringing those to you on a case-by-case basis. We did offer all applicants who had applications in these areas before the policy change the opportunity to withdraw, and we would reimburse them for their advertising costs. This one, like a few we have, is partially within the condemned and partially without. We did offer this to Mr. Healy. He indicated he wished to continue seeking to lease the entire area of his application, both the portion in North River that's open and the part that goes up into Elmington Creek. So we did proceed with that. We also made the same offer to Mr. Fahrenholt, and he modified his application to withdraw the portion that's actually in Elmington Creek. But he maintains his application as well out in the actual North River area that is currently open. So some things have happened since I wrote my eval. The end of last week was a rather busy week with both this application and the other application to Mr. Healy. So I'm going to cover a little bit of that, and my recommendation will be slightly modified from what's in your eval. It was not time to write a new one and get it into your book, so I'm just going to give you some bullet points at the end of what we're recommending. We did survey the application in March of this year. our commission surveyor, and we did survey the area up into Elmington Creek. As Mr. Here's another representation of all three applications, and the polluted area is the striped area. So this is the configuration that we actually surveyed. We did stake it up into Elmington Creek, as you can see, and around into the mouth. We did avoid the pier to the north, which is with the Tiger Enterprises property, in order to try to avoid any conflict with the use of the pier. We would note that Mr. Healy does have an existing lease in North River, just north of this. It's 185 acres. He's had that lease for quite a few years. It was assigned in 2005. We also would note to the commission that we have no record of any harvest through the mandatory reporting off of that lease. And we also have got through Jim Wesson of our Conservation Replenishment Department indicates that Mr. Healy does not have all the proper permits, or nor has he taken the training that's required of all leaseholders now about the handling of shellfish in warm water, warm weather months. So he did not have everything he needs to actually do that. That is not a prerequisite of us to whether to lease the ground. It's just for informational purposes to the commission. We certainly have people who have leases that sublease them, or have other people that work the leases for them. So the thing that happened last week was I got an email from Mr. Fahrenholt indicating that and an application for a riparian adjacent to this property, as well as the regular lease he'd already applied for. He sent that in on Thursday. I responded back to him on Friday. I heard from him yesterday by phone message that he was planning to be here today, but that he'd had a health issue last week and he was actually in the hospital, and that he would thought he'd be out, but the doctor was telling him he would not be out. So I don't believe he's here today. He said he was going to send a representative to speak for him, but he did apply for a riparian adjacent to the Tiger Enterprises property. So that complicates the evaluation slightly. Like I said, we did avoid the pier to the north there. However, he has the option of picking, you know, where along this shoreline he wants the riparian to include. He could go up into Elmington Creek. There's no restriction on leasing riparians because the code says if you have the frontage, you get a riparian. So we'll still lease those in restricted areas. He did not, on his application, designate the exact location of where he wants his riparian, so we do not know that. He did indicate in his phone call, please respond back to him by email. I did. I did request that he provide that information to us on where he wants his riparian, whether he wants it up here where around his pier, or whether he would like to exercise his right somewhere else along the shoreline. And I have not, as of this morning, I had not heard back from him. But caveat that by the fact that he's in the hospital. And perhaps the person here today that's representing may have additional information. But that's germane to our recommendation. So, in summary, after evaluating Mr. Healy's request, he's indicated that he wishes to use this area for traditional on-bottom use, not cages. However, if the ground is leased pursuant to our regulations, he would be allowed. He could put cages on it, which I think has caused some of the concern of the protests in here and the subsequent one that we'll hear after this. So there's, even though he's indicated that's not what he proposes to do, he would have that right to do it into the future. That's one reason we definitely stayed away from his pier, and so that I wouldn't cause any problems if he'd use cages near the pier. Of course, you can't put them in a way that would cause more than a minimal impact in navigation per the regulation. Weighing all that has been consistent with staff's recommendation on leases that fall within restricted waters. We are recommending not to lease the area within the Elmington Creek proper. So this is a representation of a portion of the plat, the survey plat, which shows you the total acreage of what he applied, of what we surveyed, which is 20.65 acres. The polluted line shown there in the blue, and so to the west is the condemned area, which we are not recommending to be leased, consistent with our past policy to the commission. We do believe there is an area leasable, out in the North River, and we would recommend approval of that portion, should Mr. Healy wish to go with that smaller portion. But we will have to resurvey this to carve out any riparian area that Mr. Fahrenholt has requested in the location he has designated. So our approval, your approval, if granted, would be contingent upon us getting a final location for the riparian area. And if it is within the area where we surveyed the lease, we would carve out whatever is required out of this existing 7.92 acres. So these are kind of our recommendations. Again, not leasing the area in the polluted. And then to accommodate Mr. Fahrenholt's riparian, we would carve that out. However, since we don't have a specific location yet for Mr. Fahrenholt, we would ask the commission to make part of this approval contingent upon Mr. Fahrenholt giving us a location of his riparian within 60 days of your decision so that this doesn't drag on. And I don't think that'll be a problem, provided Mr. Fahrenholt is in a condition to work with us. But we would have to go back and resurvey it. I can't give you the exact acreage because it would depend on how much riparian area comes out of this leasable area. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Bauer.
Can you clarify for me, you had Mr. Healy's application first.
Yes.
At which point we had a second application.
Yes.
For a similar piece of ground.
To do them in the order received. So our opinion is we have to conclude action on Mr. Healy's application before we can act on the subsequent application, except for the riparian. A riparian application takes precedent over any pending regular application up until the day that is assigned. This has not been assigned yet. The code says if you own the frontage, you get a riparian. That trumps a regular application. So it's kind of complicated here. If you were to lease any of this area to Mr. Healy, if you were to lease all of this area as surveyed, Mr. Fahrenholt's remaining area would only be where his pier is on his regular application, minus wherever we carve out the riparian. If you don't lease any of this to Mr. Healy, then we would go forward on Mr. Fahrenholt's both regular application and his riparian application. And if it's not protested, potentially by Mr. Healy, then we would assign that ground to Mr. Fahrenholt. But we do them in the order they're received, with the caveat that a riparian trumps a regular application.
Mr. Zedrin.
Mr. Healy's application, you said that he's not willing to carve out the condemned areas. So we have to look at his application as submitted. Is that correct?
Absolutely. This is the way we surveyed it. This is the way he continues to wish to have it. I think he wants to address you on what his intended use of it is. We've had some other people, a few, that have gone this route and been before the commission with a plan. They had some type of plan that they felt the commission should consider and allow them to lease in these areas. Again, this is in that in-between stage where you change the policy. We wouldn't accept a new application here, but it's really going to be up to the commission and based on his arguments.
All right, well, let me just follow up with that.
Question.
Let me just follow up with that. So if we have to consider his application for the whole 25 acres, staff's position would be to deny that application. Is that right?
Just the portion in the polluted area.
Well, how can we change his application?
Well, we can administer, when we survey it, it's never exactly what they applied for because we don't do that good a job. We don't know if there's a pier out there when we take the application. So, you know, his application here was initially for 25 acres. When we surveyed what he really wanted that we believe is available, we removed the area up where the pier is, so we cut that off automatically. We're not going to lease under someone's pier. And we went up into the polluted area because he wanted to pursue it. So we end up with this 20.65. The commission, both administratively or your action, you can certainly further reduce the area of his application to whatever area you deem is appropriate to lease. So we could lease him the entire 20.65. We could lease the 7.92 minus the riparian area or some smaller area than that.
And so what is staff recommendation?
So the recommendation is to lease the portion of the 7.92 in the clean area minus a riparian survey for Mr. Fernholt. So it will be less than 7.92 acres.
Okay. Mr. Erskine.
So, Mr. Stagg, there's a lot going on with this application, suffice it to say.
Wait till you get to the next one.
I look forward to it. So I have a couple questions. The first one is the training issue that you mentioned. That's an Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference training.
Yes.
And just so everybody's aware, that's both all shellfish harvesters in the Commonwealth, as well as all shellfish dealers, must go through this training. Now, I understand what you were saying about, you know, there can be subleases and people can work through that, understandably so. So I'm a little bit disappointed that Mr. Healy has not gone through that kind of training as has been required now for several years.
Mm-hmm. That's why we wanted to inform you, and he can address that.
And the second part of that, I guess, is you also mentioned another lease that he's had for now 11 years, going on 11 years. And has not reported any harvest or propagation of shellfish or anything to the commission.
He did write a letter in response to Mr. Fernholt's objections and indicated in the letter, it's in your packet, that he does cultivate and manage 185 acres. He didn't say he ever harvested in that letter, but that was his statement, that he cultivates and manages that area. So the leasing requirement in Virginia is the reason we lease ground is to propagate shellfish. There is no requirement for the 10-year renewal that you ever harvest. You just have to attempt to propagate shellfish. So, again, Mr. Healy can address what or what he hasn't done on the ground. But we just wanted to note that we don't have any record of any reporting of harvest, and also that he doesn't have all the licenses he needs. He can't get the licenses he would need to harvest himself without taking that training.
Correct.
That is a requirement, and that is really a health concern, is the reason we have that training, to be in compliance with the model ordinance of the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference.
So just as a follow-up to those two issues that I brought up, and exactly what you just said, is that we're dealing with a condemned area. It's condemned by the health department. We have training in place to protect, you know, the harvester, protect the dealer, and protect the Commonwealth and the citizens. So we're in a condemned area. It's not seasonally condemned. This is condemned year-round. So my point being that there's no training, there's no harvest on – or harvest, I should say, on the other piece of ground, and we're in a condemned area.
Right.
So
the other ground is in North River, just north of this, and it is open.
Right. I understand.
A portion of this is condemned. A portion of this application is not condemned. It's the line east and west of the blue line there.
Thank you.
Dr. Neal, what's the size of the riparian lease that is?
Half acre is the maximum size you can get. And with the frontage that's owned here by Tiger Enterprises, they would definitely be able to get their full half acre. The landowner really gets to choose where he wants it. There are some, just so you understand, a riparian has to be a minimum of 105 feet along the mean low water. It can't be any smaller than that in width. And it cannot go out any more than 210 feet out from the mean low water line. That's about a half acre. You could make it longer along the shoreline, and then it would go out for less. So somewhere along the shoreline, Mr. Fernholt has a right to a half acre. It has to be one piece. We're not going to make it a bunch of little pieces. And half acre is the maximum.
Thank you. Any further questions of Mr. Stagg? Thank you, Mr. Stagg. I appreciate your diligence in getting all the information to us. Is the applicant here represented? Hello there. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I did.
State your name, please, for the record.
Joseph Haley.
Joseph Haley.
I guess I need to start with, I have had one of the other lease I've had. Didn't know it had anything to do with this lease. I've had several applied for the right to go on the grounds. I've had two different times I've had a waterman go in and we've checked for oysters. There haven't been any oysters to harvest on, and that's why there's been no report. They've always been legal. We've had ice boxes on the boat in the summer when we tried. So we basically have been turning the bottom up where there were old beds and hoping to get new ones. And I'm going to have to plant shells, which I have planted some. On this new lease, Mr. Fahrenthold is an employee of that property. And she, the lady, Ms. Glazel, has all of it. He's representing her. So I don't know why he would get repairing rights for her, first of all. The part he's taken out around the dock extends further past the dock, which I would don't want to agree with y'all taking from me. The reason I would like to condemn grounds is because it produces good oyster seed. The oysters grow well in there, and I'd like to plant more shells in there to help spawn oyster beds out in front. Mr. Fahrenthold told me last week at the meeting that he, Ms. Glazel, the owner, was opposed to it mainly because she might be out in her yard around a swimming pool with guests and didn't really want to see anybody in the river working the front while she was there with guests. Now, I don't know what else I should say, but other than I hope y'all do the right thing. I didn't bring a lawyer with me. I didn't think I needed it.
Any questions of the applicant? Adrian.
Mr. Healy, so you have the lease that you were attempting to dredge and catch oysters off of with your existing lease. And how many acres is that?
185, plus or minus.
Okay. And how much of that area do you feel?
The line changes. It depends what the health department does that year.
No, I'm sorry. How many acres of that 185 acres do you feel is suitable for propagation of shellfish?
Well, probably most of it. It's a matter of getting out there and spending the time. The oysters just started coming back. They're slow in the North River. I don't know if you know that, than they have been in other rivers, according to everybody I talked to. I've lived there my whole life. It's a lot of good oysters. Years ago, there was the best oysters anywhere in the bay. It was right there.
So as a follow-up.
Yes, sir.
So then there's 20 or so acres that you're applying for additionally. Do you feel you don't have enough ground in the 185 acres?
Like that was a good. That's a good area. I know all the watermen, and I know all those leases were granted years ago, and they say that's a good area. If you go own water grounds in the North River, this is a good area, and including up around their dock and past their dock, which I applied for. Ms. Glazel obviously has a lot of money and is trying to influence y'all in some direction by getting her employed.
Mr. Zedrin, you have a question for the applicant?
It's been brought up that you were required to take some training in order to do what you want to do.
That was for me to harvest to myself personally.
Okay. Can you tell us why you haven't completed that training?
Because I wasn't harvesting myself personally. I had both the watermen that had boats and had done all that to do it.
You think it's important for you as a owner or a leasee of this property to know what the advantages or disadvantages to a condemned area is in reference to the health?
I think it's very important, especially if I have my own boat and I go out and start harvesting, which I intend to do in the near future. But as long as there's somebody that already knows it and does it, and I've been on the boat with them when they do it.
But you don't think that training would help you?
I think it would help me if I was doing it personally and responsible for to what comes off the bottom and sell them. I wasn't doing that. The guys on the boat that owned the boat had to, that I had signed over the lease to put them to work my grounds, had all that.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions of Mr. Healy? Seeing none, thank you, sir. At this point, we will bring forward protestants. Mr. Stagg, are the protestants here today?
I don't know.
I see. All righty. Do you swear solemnly to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. And would you state your name into the microphone for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Charles Wilson. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I thank you all for the opportunity to speak. I'm standing in for Mr. Fahrenthold, who over the weekend was unexpectedly hospitalized. He's still at the hospital and somehow corralled me to do this. But, it means a lot to him, and I'd like to make this presentation on his behalf. My understanding is that the VMRC's mission in these proceedings is really to oversee and police the optimal use and management of our natural resources. As the board well knows, this mandate means more than just promoting fisheries on every speck of waterway. But it also requires this board to balance other competing interests against the various public interests to be served. And that includes those of the waterfront property owners, particularly a homeowner. Admittedly, in this kind of frenzied environment over the oyster production, you guys do not have a very easy task. But as a waterfront owner myself, I do hear horror stories of what seems to be the equivalent of sort of a land grab speculating where applicants seek to gain control of almost every stretch of waterfront with regard, you know, without any regard really to whether or not it produces oysters or not. It's where someone can sort of opportunistically work the system. It seems like they can obtain a lease for inferior grounds, and then really for the sake of profiteering from the lease itself, not from the resources that it purports to promote. I know this is a legitimate concern for this board and really for the integrity of the industry itself. The protest application for you today is for the riverfront home owned by the Glazels at historic Ellington right on the North River. If I could, I've got a couple of photographs that Mr. Fahrenthold asked me to, if I could just distribute these.
Thank you.
I think they illustrate really how this area is primarily characterized by a large sandbar, literally in the front yard of the Glazel home. It's used enthusiastically by the Glazel children and grandchildren to swim, beach, launch kayaks, you know, otherwise enjoy the river. Understandably, Mrs. Glazel is alarmed at the prospect that this area could become an oyster bed associated with the risk that could follow with that. In speaking with numerous respected oystermen throughout the area about the prospects for this site, Mr. Fahrenthold reports that he has universally been advised that there is very little of it with any real productivity potential. What is perhaps has potential could even be further limited once these riparian rights are delineated. And I wish I could speak to that, but I know he's planning on, you know, when he gets released, which I think could be this week, he would try to sit down with Mr. Stagg. Consequently, from a practical standpoint, if the riparian application, if that's the right terminology, is granted, there's very little oyster production to be had at this particular grounds that are remaining. Mr. Fahrenthold, on behalf of the Glazels, has tried numerous times to reach out in hopes of reaching an agreement with Mr. Haley. Each time he has been rebuffed. To the best of Mr. Fahrenthold's knowledge, Mr. Haley does not have an ongoing operation, equipment, or any real history at commercially working these bids. The Glazel family, which owns this home, genuinely appreciates the public's interest and its rights to these waterways. They are good citizens. They have proven themselves to be dedicated to conservation and the health of our rivers. As an example, I believe they have faithfully sponsored the youth education program at VIMS for a number of years. These are folks that want to do the right thing. In complete candor, they filed the protest application more in self-defense than a belief that this area will prove to be a really productive harvesting area. However, while they admittedly would prefer to see this area remain free of any oyster lease, it has been for years. They are committed to actively work the area if that is the determination of this commission. Mr. Fahrenthold, on behalf of the Glazels, has spoken with Mr. Vigilotti of Mob Jack Seafood, who has agreed that he would orchestrate and work these properties if that is the determination of the commission and if the protest application was granted. In closing up, I do first thank you for letting me pitch hit for Mr. Fahrenthold at the last minute. Based on the history of the river and the input really from industry professionals, I personally believe that area in question is not suitable oyster ground. Maybe it's an opportunity to control an oyster lease, but it's not the best use of this natural resource. In its mandate to champion the state's marine resources, this commission has always recognized that every piece of water shouldn't be an oyster ground and that recreational enjoyment of our rivers is an equally valid consideration. On behalf of the Glazes, I respectfully ask the commission to deny Mr. Haley's application on the basis that the best use of this area of the river is not for oyster production. In the event the commission nevertheless determines instead that an oyster lease should be granted, I respectfully request that you determine that the property owner through the protest application is really the one best positioned to responsibly and sensitively work any delineated oyster grinds. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Seeing none. Are there any others who would like to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, we'll close this portion of the public hearing on this application. Any questions of Mr. Stagg and or discussion, further discussion on this matter?
Yeah.
Mr. Ballard.
Just a discussion comment. I want to address what we heard at the end about the protest application, not the riparian rights. It does give me some heartburn when we see someone saying, I don't want someone else to have an oyster lease, but then they move to take it up themselves and are arguing that the bottom is not productive and not suitable for oyster use, but then saying they will be the one to farm it. I'm still considering the rest of the issue here, but I think for now I would be against accepting a protest application for that ground.
All right.
I guess that was kind of what I was kind of bringing up too, that we take them in order. I just cannot see denying one lease and then turning around and giving it to someone else. I mean, that I'd have a problem with that. And this sure sounds an awful lot like what we're spending a lot of time with in Lynn Haven. Yep. So when's that next meeting? These issues are being addressed at this task force that our commissioner twisted my arm and made me be in charge of, and so these are issues that are being discussed at the state level, at the Richmond level, and at some point we're going to probably have guidelines to handle these issues. But right now we're kind of winging it like we've been in the past.
Yes, I think we've been taking more things into account. Safety, public health, et cetera. Mr. Erskine.
Ben, so there was a claim about reaching out to the applicant and having some discussion about the oyster ground application and the protest and things like that. Have you been part of that, and could you speak to whether or not there was a compromise that was discussed or something? I guess I'm having a problem with clearly there's a mandate to propagate shellfish, and it's in the best interest of the Commonwealth. We promote that as a board, yeah. Clearly. The proper use of that, again, by balancing the all uses of the Commonwealth. So I'm wondering, is there a compromise that you can speak to that was discussed?
To address the first part of your question, I have not been directly involved with any negotiation with Mr. Farenholt, who represents the property owner, and Mr. Healy. We do have the letter from Mr. Haley indicating that he, at least in his letter, says he at least had one conversation with Mr. Farenholt. We also have the testimony from Mr. Wilson on Mr. Farenholt's behalf that they've reached out to Mr. Haley and not been able to communicate. So, but I have not been directly involved in that. I think my opinion here is with the riparian application, which, to clarify, Mr. Farenholt does represent So the riparian would be in the name of Tiger Enterprises, or however this property is deeded, that's the name that the riparian would have to be in. And that's the other applications in the name of Tiger Enterprises as well, the competing regular application. And I'm not sure what the photos show that you were handed, but I'm assuming when they talk about the sandy area, they were talking about possibly this area where these breakwaters are, which does appear to be, can't see it in this photograph very well up there, but I can see it on the screen. It is a shallow sandy area here. And again, I don't know what Mr. Farenholt and the property owner are going to want, but I would assume they would want the riparian in this location, which would, in my opinion, would be a compromise right there, that we would carve that section out. Again, we're not recommending leasing up in the polluted area to Mr. Haley or to Mr. Fahrenholt or the property owners, they have withdrawn sort of that part of their application. So if you lease any of this area out here minus the riparian to Mr. Haley, there will really be nothing left for the Tiger Enterprises to continue with their pending regular application except the area around the pier. And we're not going to lease that to anybody anyway because we don't lease under people's piers. So that's kind of my idea of the compromise here. The area to the south is potentially productive oyster ground. There are leases immediately to the east of this pending application. It'd be a fairly small area.
If I can ask a follow-up question. There was a claim from the applicant about the reproduction, the recruitment of seed oysters in that area, and I know Dr. Wesson had indicated 2015 there was a very strong set in the Mob Jack on Pulse's Bar. We closed that area, and I think Toe Steak remained open in Mob Jack. Do you know of any recent set that's taken place in Elmington Creek specifically?
Dr. Wesson is here, and I would defer to his expertise if he would like to address
that. Yeah, I see Dr. Wesson back there.
The only thing we monitor are the places out in Mob Jack, but I do help a few leaseholders, and we've seen a very good set, like up the Ware and up the east. So I would assume that there's been a good set up the north, but we're always culture limited up there. So I mean, it hadn't been culture put up there for years and years and years. So the only place up in the North River is we actually have a state reef that's directly across from this Elmington plantation. It's directly on the other side of the river from that. That's always been productive. It's had a few issues with poaching recently because it's been productive and there's leases all around it. But you would certainly, if you put planted shells here, you would get something, but it's still condemned area, though, so we have a lot of concerns about that.
If I can follow up, we have Dr. Wesson there. If you planted shells on the outside of Elmington Creek as opposed to in the condemned area up in Elmington Creek, you would assume there would be the same set.
Yeah, the same or better. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wesson. Mr. Ziedrin.
A comment. I think in keeping with their past decision-making, if we follow staff's recommendation to deny the condemned area on that application for Mr. Healy, and then with the staff's recommendation to grant his lease for the 7.92 acres minus the riparian landowner's right, and provided that the riparian landowner provide that description to staff within 60 days, that would be in accordance with our past decision-making process. So I would, at appropriate time, move to accept staff recommendation.
All right. Well, let's see if we have any other questions of Mr. Ballard.
I agree that would be in keeping with our past practices. I do wonder, with some of these applications and some of the conflicts we're seeing with the amount of applications, specifically in close proximity to residential areas and in conflicts with other uses of the waterways, and in light that this applicant has 185 acres in close proximity to this already, that while there may be plans to be used, we see relatively little evidence of use. This, what would become 7.4 acres out of 185 acres, is a relatively small percentage. And when we look at all the stakeholders in the Commonwealth, not just the oyster industry, the watermen, but also the residents, the recreational users of the waterway, what a more balanced approach here would be to deny this application, both applications, the original and the protest, and that, if we can see use of a responsible use plan of this lease, that we might consider it at a later date. I'm undecided on this, but I think this is an interesting application that's bringing forth a lot of issues that are being discussed.
No, I appreciate that, Mr. Ballard. I think you're exactly right. I mean, there has been, and the 185 acres or 4 acres that Mr. Healy has been leased for, what, 11 years now, we've seen no, quote-unquote, propagation of shellfish. And as Dr. Weston just mentioned, it's going to take shelling to promote any, and that has not happened. And that's what the state counts on when it leases state bottom, that there will be some productivity, not a lay-aside program. Any other? One moment. I think any further discussion from the commission? No. I think we allow the applicant. I think we've allowed him to rebut at times. I think this would be. Would the commission be all right for the applicant to return to the podium?
Keep referring to my 185 acres I've had 11 years. Well, the oysters hadn't been growing in the North River for the last 11 years. And I've been checking them from time to time over the years, and the river's been dead. And Mr. Weston stated they hadn't been up there to even know it's dead. It's dead. And I've been trying to turn some of the bottoms of the old beds over. I know I have to plant shells on them, and that's my part of my future in my life. And I've lived on the North River for the last 25 years, and I still do, is to work the river myself. But in the meantime, I'm a contractor. I've had other watermen go in there and turn the bottoms up and everything like that, trying to promote oyster shells that are already there to strike. And that's what I want to do with this lease and the next lease I'm trying to get. I want to retire. I want the rest of my life working on the water to be on these leases. And I know I can do it, and I know I can produce oysters. And I'm not doing it to protect my property value. I'm doing it to do what it's meant to be. And as far as even the, like around their dock, you can stake their dock off, but there's other parts of that lease that will produce oysters there too as well. I mean, I feel like that money and powers get in the way of y'all doing what you normally do is lease people like me oyster leases to produce oysters with. She don't want anybody to see her out in the river, out in front of the house swimming in the pool. And I just think y'all really need to think what you're doing, because it doesn't seem fair to me. I've been waiting a year and a half to get this lease, and it's been dragging on. And the fact that Mr. Farenthold is doing it only to represent her, because she can't do it because they're in the LLC that won't allow it, is kind of a funny thing for me anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Healy. We have a question for you, Mr. Healy.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, you can, certainly.
Do you understand what the commission was mentioning before about some of the user conflicts that have been taking place with oyster ground applications in particular?
No.
And, okay, well, there are some areas, as Mr. Ballard stated, that have multiple user conflict issues, and that's what this commission is wrestling with, is the fact that it's not just strictly oyster ground propagation and growing oysters or planting shells. There are other users of the waterways that must be balanced by this commission. So I understand that there's an obligation to propagate shellfish on oyster ground that is leased, and that's what we were referring to with your current lease of 185 acres. That's not in question here, but we were only encouraging you to propagate shellfish, which it seems like you're attempting to do that. Right.
The last 3 or 4 years, that's what I've been doing. It's just no record of it because we hadn't harvested any oysters.
I understand. There are a lot of issues that go along with this now, currently, because there are some of these user conflicts we're seeing.
Well, my intention is to bring anything you want me to do up to date, because my intention is to have my own boat and work my grounds myself personally. And I don't know if anybody went up there would know that the North River is dead. I know everybody on the ward. I've known them my whole life. And the East River is alive and well, the Ware River it is, and it's all coming back. It's got to come back in the North River. Nobody understands it. All the guys who go up there, they don't understand why there aren't strikes where all these old beds were. So we've been turning them up, taking the bag out, turning them up, and it's like cultivating the bottom. And I know I'm going to put shells. I have planted some shells, but I know I need to do it at a larger scale. But that's what's in my future plans. That's why I want more grounds.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Mr. Stagg, before we close the public hearing, are there any other issues we should know about?
Nothing I'm aware of.
Well, thank you for your presentation. Members, so we'll close this part of the public hearing and open it to our discussion and vote.
There's your motion, Tom.
I will say, you know, Dr. Wesson, again, was right. This idea that we can cultivate the bottom, I've, in my experience, seen no proof that you can cultivate the bottom and produce shellfish. You need to plant shells to produce shellfish. Maybe that's not part of this application at all, but I think it is something to consider. But we operate on a motion. Mr. Ballard.
This is a difficult one, but I think the fact that's really swaying my opinion on this is the fact that there's already 180 acres that's available for him that is really a large amount of ground and should be productive, and we're in no means denying him his right to earn a living on the water. I would move to deny the application, and as well as the protest application as well.
I'd second it.
One moment.
Just to clarify, the protest application is not before us. We haven't given the notice and all that, right?
That's correct. And the Tiger Enterprises may withdraw it based on your action today and getting the right parent. I don't know that until I talk to them, but he's right. I don't think you can act on the other one because we haven't public noticed that we were going to make any action on that one.
Okay. I would move to deny the application before us.
Second.
Second. So we have a motion by Mr. Ballard to deny and a second by Mr. Zeter. All right. Any further discussion on the part of the commission? Yes, sir.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree completely with the motion. I think there are a lot of competing uses here that we see. But I do get concerned that, the gentleman is the applicant is applying for something that he feels would be suitable for propagation of shellfish, and the fact that he's interested in potentially having a plan to plant larger quantities of shell that may have some recruitment and realize some harvest here. I understand the larger piece of ground that he has and has had for a number of years. I disagree with leasing in the condemned area. And I think that holds to what we've done as a commission in the past. But I wonder if there is a piece in that outer portion that's not condemned that he'd be able to, plant shells and catch a strike there and move it to the other piece of ground or move seed to his ground. I guess I'm concerned that we're just saying, no, you can't have this piece of ground. Not necessarily because there's other fishing interests in the area, which I know we've done, or there's historic resources, or this area was used as a pound net, things like that. So that's my comment.
Any reaction to that or comments?
Well, I understand there's a motion in a second. I just wanted to offer a comment that.
All right. Mr. Ballard.
And I'm struggling with this one as well, and certainly agree with a lot of what Mr. Erskine said. I guess my question for staff would be if the applicant felt strongly that he would like a smaller portion or some other, he would be capable of reapplying.
That's correct.
For a smaller set of ground or an area out at the mouth.
I'll put this up briefly. This is the actual Tiger Enterprises application. As you can see, they did only apply for their regular lease kind of wrapped around that piece of property. So it does stop at a point to the south there where Mr. Haley's application continues to the south. So on this plat, that would be, this area down here that's not part of the Tiger Enterprises' current application. The riparian wouldn't come down that far because it's beyond where the riparian could be. So that would be a subset area again, we're probably going to end up carving the riparian out up here anyway, but just for information purposes.
No, I think you could you put that slide back up again? That was this that the that you say represents.
That's the Tiger Enterprises property. First application that protested. Okay. Haley. Mr. Haley wanted.
My application?
Yeah.
Well, here's both of them. Whoops. So they kind of, it's hard to see. There is a line down the middle there. Very difficult to see. You see it better on this screen than you can on the computer. So Mr. Haley applied all the way up, that entire area. The Tiger Enterprises starts up at the north, comes down, and runs along that center line you see. So they're basically, he's right. I mean, they applied for just their half.
Right. Okay.
But my point was that in the open area, you know, their application stops about right in here. So there would be some area to the south that technically is not part of their overlapping application. They basically protested his entire application, but their application is just for their side of the creek.
Sure. Mr. Zedrin.
I guess what changed my mind is what Mr. Ballard said there. You know, and it's a difficult decision to make because I've changed, you know, 180 degrees on this case here. But, you know, this promulgation of oysters, that's their business. And the history is that this gentleman is not doing it. And so that's what strongly weighs on my mind. And that's what changed my mind is why lease more land to someone who's not going to use it for the purposes that we want. And that's why I agreed with Mr. Ballard. I think it was a very good point.
All right.
Can I say something again?
No, thank you. Any other comments?
Well, and I appreciate what Mr. Ballard said in his second comment, the fact that this doesn't preclude the applicant from coming back. And like you said, the southern portion of that, that may be away from Tiger Enterprises and this conflict, user conflict that the upland, you know, owner has, that he could come back and utilize that area. So I think that's maybe a reasonable outcome right to this as well.
All righty. Well, we will call for the question. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. All in favor, say nay.
No, you're confused.
Excuse me. All against the motion, say nay. Pardon
nay.
Me.
Nay.
No. And would you raise your hands to the nays? Four nays. Okay. So it is a tie vote. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. Well, this is sort of.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, sure.
Staff, with what we just talked about recently,
I can I get a clarification? Are there odd number of people here?
Yeah.
There's eight.
Eight.
Four to four. Four to four.
Sorry, I didn't see the four.
Okay. If I could ask staff, the 7.92, where you have the blue line, the 7.92 is outside the condemned area.
Yes.
The area you just mentioned about the application was to the southern end. We don't know that acreage necessarily. But would it be possible to exclude the area to the north, I guess it is, and just lease that piece that's away from the property owner?
Yes. I mean, we're going to have to go back there. If you approve anything here, we're going to have to go back out because we have to do the riparian application. I don't think they're going to withdraw that. So we have to go back out there. And, yes, I mean, we can strike a line basically, you know, starting somewhere in the middle of Elmington Creek and come out in conjunction with the end of the Tiger Enterprises application. And then this area would still be an area that could be leased and platted. And it's probably going to be 2 acres, 2.5 acres maybe.
Because that was public note, that's part of what was public noticed, is
absolutely.
That correct? Okay.
Absolutely. This entire area you see on this plat is part of the original application, including the area up here that we didn't include in the survey because there is a pier here.
I understand. Thank you.
Mr. Bauer.
Do we have an objection, I guess, from the protestant for the entire area Would it be appropriate now to ask if they would object to that southern portion?
I guess there's someone here representing Mr. Fahrenholt who represents the owner. And you could have him weigh in. That's your prerogative.
I think that'd be interesting to know since they didn't apply for that section.
Well, come to the microphone, if you would, please, if you're going to. State your name one more time,
sorry,
please.
Charles Wilson. I don't know the answer. I mean, I'm just still standing in for a family friend. I can't answer it. I mean, I'd love to defer.
That's all right.
If you want to. My impression, and I can't speak for these people that aren't here either, but you see what they applied for originally in competition with Mr. Haley's lease. They could have obviously applied for all of Elmington Creek and all the way to the south. They did not. They just did their side of the creek and stopped, you know, at kind of a midpoint here and came out and ran on up around their property. So, you know, that speaks for itself. We don't ask that specific a question when we get a competing application. You know, are you only objecting to, you know, the part that you applied for, or are you objecting to the whole thing? And I don't know. We can't get that answer because they're not here. So,
Mr. Zedrin.
Take a shot at this. I move that we deny Mr. Healy's application except for the portion below that midline that the other people, yeah, right there, from there down. I move to approve that, but deny the rest of his application.
And you're not including the condemned area as well?
That's correct.
I think I can second that.
For clarification,
yes.
Would that include or exclude staff's recommendation of a riparian acknowledgement that they would have, I guess it would be completely outside of the riparian, right?
So yeah, I think if we do it as the motion, then you're beyond where that riparian could reach anyway.
Okay,
they
thank you.
Go that far out.
Mr. Franz.
Yes, if we do cut that non-condemned part in half, does that make the plaintiffs, are they able to apply for what he doesn't get then? Or are we just going to close that area? I mean, it wouldn't be fair to the applicant, in my opinion.
Well, here's
it. Say that one more time, Mr. Franz, please.
The part that the 7.92 acres?
Yes.
All right. If we cut that in half and give the applicant the southern part, does the plaintiff have right to rent the northern part? If we do that, that's denying him his right to lease it.
So I think I can clarify.
Mr. Stagg, thank you.
So we do have a pending application from Tiger Enterprises. So whatever action you take on Haley's application, any area you don't lease today will still be part of the Tiger Enterprises regular lease application. Caveating that we know that they're going to exercise their riparian right on a separate application for some of this area to the north of the area you're talking about. But that application is still active, so once you complete action on Haley, whatever it is, anything that's left that you don't lease that's part of the Tiger Enterprises regular lease application is still active. Now, they may withdraw it and just take the riparian. I don't know that. They may want to get a riparian and then lease what's left that was in their regular application, which they would have the option to do. It's going to be a very small area, but my opinion is if you do this and they exercise a riparian right up here somewhere, this little teeny area that's left, it would be unlikely we would recommend leasing that to anybody other than the property owner, and they might just withdraw and it'd just be a little vacant area there that probably never gets leased. But again, I don't have a crystal ball, but the Tiger Enterprises application will still be active if there's any ground left here after you approve.
So Mr. Haley has he applied first.
He applied first, okay. So that's why we're here. You know, you really need to act on his, acknowledging the competing application and the protest and the riparian and all those issues, but.
Mr. Ballard.
I think Mr. France brings up a really good point, not necessarily with this application, but in general, that when we don't lease these areas, they remain vacant, and we could enter into this cycle of application after application, and you're left with opposition that has to scan the papers every week to make sure it's not trying to be leased again. Or you have a situation where it's not opposed the next time, and the applicant should have probably had first right to that lease because he'd been applied and denied it before. I don't think it's something we can take into account necessarily on this application, but it's something we need to be mindful of as we continue to go through this process.
Yes, I agree. Okay. The applicant has had his hand up and would like to speak another time. I feel as though with the change in motions and the dialogue we've had thus far would warrant his... Would the commission be okay with that? Mr. Healy, would you come forward?
Thank you. I know this is complicated. Two things have come up since we've been sitting here. You went from not wanting me to have any because I have 185 acres, but there's a lot of people that have leased a lot more leases than that all over, to want me to have two. And I feel like you want me to have the two, so you're thinking of keeping everybody happy. I don't think it's up to you to keep that lease, that any of that part of the lease given to opportunity to that property owner right there. Because then you're bowing down to property owners having right to control the bottom of that river. So if you all would give me that 7.9, I would be tickled to death right now. If not, I hope there's some kind of appeal that I can come back with you all on. I guess I'll have to bring a lawyer. But right now, the common sense thing is to let me have the 7.92 and let them get their half acre repairing rights. Their life will be good.
Thank you very much, sir. All righty. The matter is still before the commission. And we have a motion. Is that correct?
Yeah.
The motion is by Mr. Zedrin. Would you restate it, Mr. Zedrin?
It's right about where that 7 is. There's a line right there, right. And agreed to give Mr. Healy the south of that, or the bottom part. I don't know if south or not, whatever. But where he's pointing with the motion is to deny his application except for to grant him his application from that 7.92 down.
All right. And there was a second by?
Mr. Minor.
Mr. Minor. Okay. And what discussion, further discussion, Mr.
Well,
Erskine?
In light of what the applicant just said, I would remind him that we're trying to come up with a compromise and that, again, there are competing uses of these areas. You would like to propagate shellfish. There's opposition to your application, and that's what this commission tries to do. We are trying to give you some ground in addition to your 185 acres, that you can continue with what you'd like to do. So as much as you petition that you'd like the 7.92 acres now, there's a situation where the commission is trying to come up with something that's reasonable to allow you to continue what you're doing. So I just want to make that very clear. I don't think this commission in any way sees the competing application that the riparian landowner put in to protect their shoreline interests as anything that this commission, I'll speak for myself, that I would support. So we're not trying to deny you the ability to propagate shellfish. We're trying to work with you in a compromise
so
for that.
Will be able to lease it for what,
no, sir.
When is that going to be done?
It won't be today.
That's correct.
So, Mr. Zedrin.
I want to make it clear that this commission has got nothing to do with people who have money. And I don't speak for myself. I think I can speak for everybody on this board here. It is that we try to do the right thing. It doesn't make a difference if you're a billionaire or if you're a pauper. And so I don't really – I just want to make it clear that money has nothing to do with our decisions up here.
Thank you, Mr. Zedrin. Any other discussion on this before we take a vote? Mr. Franz.
If we do, again, lease that below – make a line and lease below the southern part, then that makes the northern part is still open, right? So anybody can lease it.
You still have the competing
Tiger Enterprises still has
that. Protest that.
There's no way we can say this cannot be leased.
That's correct.
Can I
Dr. Neal.
Although I get scared whenever I talk about oysters. I think that we do have a compromise, and that was staff recommendation. And I think that was a compromise. You take away the condemned area, you take away the riparian area, and it's greatly reduced at least. Now, we're trying to micromanage it by reducing it more, cutting it down from 6 acres to 2 acres or whatever it comes to. I'm still supporting staff recommendation.
Any other comments? Dr. Neal, I hear what you're saying, the user conflict part of what we do here has become foremost in many of our meetings here in the last couple years. So resolving this is never easy and it's never pretty. So we'll do the best we can. So without further ado, I will call for a vote. The vote is for leasing midpoint of the creek south on the application, 7.92 acres. So does not include the condemned area.
That's correct.
Okay. So all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Would that be a show of hands, please? Again, that's four. All those against the motion signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Nay. We have a tie again.
This is fun.
For me, this is almost uncharted territory. Being here as the acting chairman and being here after 9 years, I've never really seen two ties on a vote yet. Is there any guidance from Mr.
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second. I'll second that.
We have a motion to accept staff recommendation and a second by Dr. Neal, the motion, and Mrs. Kellum, a second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Could I have a show of hands, please? That is now six. Or seven, excuse me. And all those against the motion signify by saying no. Nay.
Nay.
Okay. All right, one, Mr. Ballard. So the staff recommendation has gone forward.
Same guy.
Thank you. Mr. Healy, do you understand?
Do I get to appeal it?
Yes, you certainly can.
Well, that's what I want to do.
Okay. You're certainly within your... You got what you asked for, though. Did you recognize that?
I got the 7.9.
Yes, you did.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, thank you.